great to be together. Let's put our hands up like this. Put them together. We're here to worship in the splendor of His holiness, the God of glory. Every heart, every voice.
This is where worship starts. Here in the temple of my heart, remembering who you are and all you've done. This is your majesty, all I have tasted and I've seen, remembering who you are, and once again,
lift it up today.
Yeah. God but you. We praise.
Come on.
No other God, no other God but you. And we sing. No other name, no other name.
What's his name? See it today.
Jesus, Jesus.
And we serve.
No other God, no other God but you.
The name above.
us in. You're our desire. We long for you more than anything else. Even when we don't realize it, God, you're the treasure. You're the prize. We look to you today.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Think about what you're singing right here.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Yeah. We gotta sing that again. My hope.
My hope is built on nothing.
Let it be so. Let it be true, Lord.
Then Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame.
Here, church,
weak made strong in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Yeah.
When darkness seems to hide His face,
and your mercies
through every high and stormy gale.
Shut it out.
My anchor holds within.
Oh,
my anchor holds within the veil.
Hey,
Christ alone.
Hey, salvation is in you. Our righteousness is in you. You are the cornerstone, the one who holds us all together, the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the center of it all. Be our all in all. Be our all in all. The Lord of all. All right, church, you sing. Christ the Lord. Christ. Let me hear you.
Long.
Come on.
Lift
it up and
church. I want you to lift your voice right now. Come on, lift your voice and praise the Lord. Shout to God, all the earth. Come on. Yes, Lord. He's holy, holy, holy.
Amen. Psalm 96, verse 9 says, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, of His holiness. If you walk in the room, you're like, there's something I'm sensing. What you're sensing is the holiness of God, that He's just not like us. When we talk about God's holiness, is that He's the one who's high and exalted. There is only one throne. There's only one throne that rules the universe. And only God can sit on that throne. And so we build our little thrones, and following God is part of getting rid of that in our lives and acknowledging that there really is just one throne. This is why we've sung about it today. And we said, there's no other gods who deserve our praise. See, there are other gods out there, but none of them are like God. First of all, none of them are real. They're not actually personhood. They're just things that we choose to worship. And this is why we have to gather with God's people and say, there's only one God, and He's worthy to be praised, and He's worthy to receive all that we bring here today. So let's just not rush past this moment. Why don't you just close your eyes right there? And we've sung our praise to God. Would you just open your mouth? Would you just speak blessing to God? Say, Jesus Christ, You are Lord. Jesus Christ, You are the King. You're the one that we worship here in this place. Yes, God. Father, we come in this place and we gather as Your people. Before, we were not a people. Once we were not a people, and yet now we are. We're a family. Why? Because of You, God. Because You drew us near and You have saved us. And so, God, we say Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. You're the one who stands above it all. And so our hearts acknowledge You as King. And Lord, we bring our offering of worship and we say, we love You. Jesus, we love You. More than anything, even though all these things compete against our heart's affection, we lay all that aside now and we say, Jesus, be the center of it all. You are the one we worship. You are the one we adore. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray all these things. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give praise to the Lord. Thank You, Lord. So good to worship with you. And we're going to continue in worship as we now turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings. We're going to list the ways you can give on screen. Why? Because we believe Jesus when He said that where we give, that's where our heart is. And we're saying Jesus has our heart. So we're going to believe what He says as we give now generously to partner with Him in what He's doing here in our city, across the country, and even across the world. Well, I am so excited to dive into God's word with you. We got Pastor John Egan in the house today who's going to preach. We had a great first service, so you're in for a treat today. But before we even do that, why don't you take a few minutes here, turn around, find some people you didn't come to church with, and let's greet them.
What's up, New Life North? My name is Chantel.
And I'm Mateo.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
If this is your first time joining us at New Life North, or you want more information on New Life North's ministries, click the link below.
And if you're watching us from Facebook or YouTube, make sure to drop something in the comments and let us know where you're tuning in from. We would love to say hi.
Yep, so go ahead, grab your Bible, something to take notes with, and get ready to engage with the scriptures as we hear a powerful message.
Hey, church, you live today? Let me hear you. Come on. It's so good to see you. Yesterday when the weather came in, I thought, oh, man. Well, first I thought this because I've been initiated as a man in Colorado Springs. When it rains or snows, what you do is you have to grab your coffee. You have to look out the window like this and go, this is good. We needed the moisture. This is good. This is good. So first I did that to prove that I'm a man. And then I thought, oh, I hope this doesn't mess up church for tomorrow. But look at this place. Here we are. You're here. I'm here. Jesus is here. That's a recipe for a good time. Friends, thanks so much for your support with the new album that we just released 2 weeks ago. Have you been listening to it? It's good. It's so good. You know my heart when I say that. I'm just so proud of it. I'm so proud of our team. And it's a gift to the Lord first, to minister to his heart. But then it's also our gift to you as a church. For decades, we've been singing songs, writing songs from this house to lift up to the Lord. But also, there's this really cool element where it's all of our gift to the world. So keep sharing it, keep spreading the love, and keep, you know, telling family members about it. And that's kind of how it spreads. It's kind of how the Lord uses it. So I'm just believing, I'm foolish and wild enough to believe that God could really give this thing some reach, you know? Let it go to the nations, right? Do you believe that with me? Thanks, guys. It's awesome. I get to preach today, and I love it, and I'm pumped. I get to do John 15. John 15 is a serious chapter. It's one of those deserted island chapters, like if you were stranded on a deserted island and you could only have one chapter of scripture. John 15 is one of the ones that you would want. It's so rich. It's this amazing invitation from Jesus about our life, our existence, how to become what we're becoming. And I called, you know, it was like a month ago, we weren't sure where we were gonna land on this Sunday, but I called Brady, Pastor Brady and Daniel. I said, I call John 15. I don't care what you guys wanna do, but I'm doing John 15. And Brady said, okay. So thank you, Pastor Brady, who's in coming back from Japan right now. We love you, Pastor Brady. But this John 15 and this like stretch of chapters right now, this is the end of Jesus' life, and he is talking to his disciples. This is the final conversation that he's having with his followers, those that he have been traveling with him for years. And in scripture, it's called the farewell discourse, these conversations. And John 15 is right there in a real literal sense. It's kind of the famous last words of Jesus. And I love famous last words. I always dig into what people are saying at the end of their life, and it seems perspective is clearer, and you know, there's kind of priorities are simpler. And I'm always just kind of leaned in to see what people are saying, especially people who have walked with Jesus for decades. What are the things they're saying at the end? Or even to our knowledge, some people who maybe haven't walked with Jesus, they're saying some profound things. So Steve Jobs, creator of Apple, we all know who that is. He was on his deathbed talking to his sister and then just looked over her shoulder into nothing and just said, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, and passed away. Isn't that wild? Bob Marley. We all know Bob Marley. He said, money cannot buy life, and then passed away. And then to switch gears, I have to tell you one that's not so much powerful as it is hilarious. There is a sweet saint by the name of, she's a nun, French nun by the name of Louise Marie Theresa, 16th century gal, totally consecrated her life to Jesus. She's on her deathbed. Family and friends are all around. And she releases into the atmosphere a bit of flatulence. Yeah, I know. It's just a bit of loud something. You know what I mean, right? And it's a true story. And her family and her friends haven't heard from her in a while, so they turn. It startles the whole room, and they all look silence at her. And she says, and I quote, "Oh, good. A woman who can fart is not yet dead." I'm sorry to have to say that at church. I'm sorry to have to say that from the pulpit. It's just too easy. And that's just the way to go. You've lived a good life if you say that and then you die. You pass gas, you pass away. That's the way to go. I'm just saying, I know it's bad. I asked Pastor Brian in between services, I said, I'm sorry I had to say that story. And he said, John, I've got like 15 grandkids. I've heard a lot worse. It's like, okay, then I'm good. But here we are, guys, in the last bit of conversation with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus just had the Last Supper. He washed the feet of his disciples. We just preached that. He predicts his betrayal from Judas, and Judas is sent away. He tells Peter, you're gonna deny me three times. And he promises then the gift of the Holy Spirit that's gonna come as this almost upgrade. And then he launches into this, John 15, some final words, a bit of a manifesto. We're gonna read about half of it. Here is the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Down to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. I'm gonna say this is the word of the Lord, and we all say together, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's the best when we say that together. Jesus doesn't force anything. If you read the Gospels and read stories about Jesus, you'll see he never forced anything. He always invited. In the beginning of this amazing book of John, he invites people, come and follow me. Come and be with me. Come and learn from me. And we know he didn't force it because not everyone accepted the invitation. And here we are in John 15 at the end of this time, and he's saying, come and be with me. Come and remain in me, and I will remain in you. That word remain, it's a Greek word called meno, and it is rich with meaning. It means, obviously, to remain. It means to abide, which we use a lot, to stay, to live, to endure in me. And my favorite of the definitions is, and I think almost most potent, is come and make your home in me, and I will make my home in you. So I think the greatest need of humanity is to find a home. Not a house. A house is a wonderful thing, but I mean a place to be, a place to live, to remain, to let define us, to belong to, a true north for our souls and a true center for our minds. All of us, at times, we act like spiritual orphans who don't have a home. And Jesus is saying, make your home in me, and I'll make it in you, and you will not be an orphan. We have a room today of mostly Christians, and that word Christian, it's got some really cool, interesting history. If you're not a Christian, you're just here checking out the ways of Jesus, we're so glad that you're here, and we are here to help you in any way that we can. But mostly we have a room of Christians, and that word is actually, the word Christian, it's only used in Scripture about three times. And the meaning is kind of a little Christ or like a mini Messiah. And it was used actually sarcastically to label the followers of Jesus at the time. It was a bit of a slur. Like, oh, them, yeah, oh, they're the Christians, you know, the mini messiahs. And it was kind of to make fun. But the followers of Jesus at the time, there was like, well, eventually they just thought, you know what? We kind of dig that label. I mean, we kind of want to be like little Christ. We kind of want to be like mini messiahs. So what, joke's on you. What you meant as sarcasm, we're actually going to adopt that. We are Christians. That's pretty cool. But then over the centuries, the word has kind of morphed into what once was follower of Jesus, a mini Messiah, a little Christ, is now kind of a word that we just use in normal vernacular as to label someone who just believes in God. And I simply believe in God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And that's a good thing. It's not wrong. In fact, there was a study recently that said that 70% of Americans identify themselves as Christian. That is a high number. But are they following the way of Jesus? Hold there. There's another term that's used in Scripture quite a bit more, and that word is disciple or learner or apprentice. I love the word apprentice. John Mark Comer out in the West Coast, he's doing a lot of really cool work to popularize the word apprentice and popularize ancient teaching on the way of Jesus. So I encourage you to look at his work. But the word apprentice, what I love about it is it speaks to abiding. It speaks to a long journey, a long obedience in the same direction. It talks to journey. It talks to time and space. And this word, disciple, so the word Christian used about three times. The word disciple or apprentice used 268 times in the Scriptures. That is a big difference. And this study that says 70% of Americans who identify as Christian, the data went further to say how many people are living the life of a disciple, the life of someone following Jesus as an apprentice. I don't know how they would gauge people's spiritual life, but that number came in around 4%. So you got 70% saying, I believe in God, only 4% living the way of God. So we have quite a gap there. So many are saying, I believe, but few are saying, we will follow. But we have this magnificent invitation from Jesus now to come and follow. Come, abide, make your home in me. Dallas Willard, the late Dallas Willard, he addresses this kind of gap by saying this. The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples. Students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. This is the greatest issue facing the world today, is what he's saying. Turning people who believe in God into people who be with God. Does that make sense? So who are we becoming? The call is to move from believing into being, apprenticing, being, abiding in Jesus. And this is not scary news. This is not negative news. This is good news. This is powerful news. Jesus, the rabbi, is here to invite us in, not force us to come in and be closer to him, to be with him. It's not a hammer of judgment. He's not in a rush. This is not fueled in fear. This puts meat on the hunger we all feel. Everyone feels. I hear from Christians all the time, believing Christians. Is this it? No, it's not it. There's more. There's abiding in him. There's being with him. There's journeying with him. And then we could become the people on the earth that we're meant to become, which is a clear voice of freedom, a clear voice of wholeness in the world. And we don't have to go very far to see that Christians haven't always been the clearest voice of freedom. It's been murky at times. I don't like to bash. There's a lot of clear voices out there, but there's some foggy voices as well. I wonder, do we have some kind of epidemic, or have we forgotten how to abide? Are we not abiding? So a few things lifted from John 15. Number one, if you take notes, what we give our attention to, we always become. In race car driving, if you're a Formula One fan, you might recognize this. There's a saying, they tell the drivers, where your eyes go, your car goes. They tell the drivers, if you're spinning out, if your eyes are fixed on the wall, you will almost every time meet the wall. If your eyes are fixed on the track, you will almost every time regain traction and continue on. So if we're honest about the human condition, we are deeply affected by our surroundings. We often are spinning out. What are we now giving our attention to? The wall that we don't want to hit, or something else? Abiding in something is not even a spiritual thing, it's just a human thing. We're all abiding in something. But for many of us, it's not Jesus or the words of Jesus. For many of us, we are branches shooting off the vine of fear, anger, materialism, greed, or lust. These are the thoughts and feelings and emotions we so often abide in. So what's the fruit that ends up coming out in our lives? You might recognize this in your own life. Regret, revenge, hate, violence, insecurity, or gossip. We spend so much time in the vine of fear and all these things that we end up becoming all these other things because what we give our attention to, we always become. Intentionally and unintentionally, we are making our home in all sorts of vines. This is not a judgment for us, church, but this is something that we have to address. And I've been there. I want to say I was there this week. About a week ago, I was like, man, why am I just melancholy? Why am I feeling a little bit of despair, a little bit of anxiousness, a little bit of discouragement? You know, and then I looked at the last 5 weeks of my life, and here's kind of a snapshot of my world, and you could all give snapshots of your world, but like 5 weeks ago we did Palm Sunday. Amazing moment celebrating Jesus' arrival here at church. We had palm branches and it was awesome, but it's heightened, you know, and then a week later we have hours of rehearsals throughout the week because we did Good Friday service, and Good Friday service was beautiful and amazing, but it's a lot, and we wanted to make it beautiful. We were hosting a lot of people. And then 2 days later is the big Super Bowl of Christianity, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. We're hosting tens of thousands of people here as we're celebrating resurrection. And it was amazing, but it was a lot. It was a high. I'm like, wow. Then moved to a week later, it was another high, which I think might've been my favorite high, but it was a high, was baptizing over 400 people in this place. Just into the family of God, seeing miracles break out, incredible. But we had families coming in, we didn't wanna mess it up. We wanted to do okay. It's a high. You think that would be enough. And then a week later, we release the new album. And it's like, goodness gracious. And releasing it was smooth. It was amazing. It couldn't have been better. You guys were so supportive. But there's a lot there. There's a lot of inner dialogues that go on. Is this enough? Is this working? Does anyone care? Should we stop releasing music? Is it good that we're releasing music? God, are you going to use it? The music industry is strange. We're not touring. Is that going to be a problem? Just all the stuff, it's a lot. And I've noticed this about myself, and I think for a lot of us, it's hard to come down from that kind of place. It's hard to come down from that kind of high, so I found myself discouraged. I found myself a little lost. So what do I do? What do any of us do in times like that? What options do we have? We could abide in Netflix, you know, just watch some shows and do the Netflix thing. Or we could abide in some good old phone scrolling, mindless doom scrolling, and just distract ourselves that way. Or maybe some comfort food that's maybe not the best for us, or maybe that extra glass of wine, or maybe it's we could become victims in our mind. Just say, well, you know what? I'm not getting loved on, like encouraged like I could be by from some people, and you become a victim. We all have a lot of options in what we could abide in. Enter Jesus to say, come abide in this. Come abide in me. And he's saying you could actually turn your attention. You actually have agency to turn your attention away from those things and put them on Christ. Paul says it in the New Testament. He says we could set our minds on things above. Or the psalmist who says, I have set the Lord always before me. This is why worship is so important. I mean, I'm a worship leader. I get this, so I like worship. But this is a formation thing, what worship is. We need to get in here. We need to be ready to worship the Lord because we need to behold who he is. We serve no other God. We praise no other name. Jesus, Jesus. We need to behold God together as a church because what we behold, we become. You want peace? Let's draw our attention to the Prince of Peace. Want joy? Draw your attention to the author of joy. You want hope? Draw your attention to the hope of the world. And you want love? Draw your attention to the God who is love itself. Can you say amen? All right, number two. Jesus is the truest thing about you. We just read it in verse one. I am the true vine. So you might be saying at this point, like, John, I'm with you. I get it. I kind of dig it. We need to go from a believing people into an abiding people. We need to draw our attention to Jesus. I get it and I love it, but here's the problem. That sounds like a lot of time. And it's true. I'm busy, John. I'm a realtor. I'm a dancer. I'm a dancing realtor. I'm a basket weaver. I'm a mom. I'm a single mom. Like real things. And you're thinking, I'm an apprentice of those things, John, because those things pay the bills. And we need to just survive. We need to move. And I get that. You are totally right. And there's a lot of truth to that. You're busy. And then they're thinking, and now, John, we're in church right now. We're taking some time out of our week to be in church because you guys do the apprenticeship thing and just help us. There's truth to a lot of what you're saying. And we are here to help you. And you are very busy. But let me just challenge a couple of things. First, let me just, before like upending all of our rhythms, let's just talk about the hundreds of times a day where things happen, no matter what career you have, no matter how busy you are, there are hundreds of times a day that you could turn your attention to abide in God. How about this? Ride an elevator with a group of people. Stand in line at a Starbucks or the grocery store. Sit at a red light. What do you see most people doing? What do you mostly do? You have some idle moments. This, right? Yeah. I was in a Smoothie King this last week and I was like, I'm gonna kind of do some tests. I ordered my smoothie, I sat down, there was like seven other people, all of them, all seven, head down, doing this whole thing. And here's why we're doing that. So there's this Hungarian psychologist and author. He wrote the book on flow called Flow Theory. He says this. He says, the unaided mind tends toward chaos. What he's saying is that when we're not thinking about what we're thinking about, we actually go to the negative. We've heard that joke. My mind is like my internet browser. I have 19 tabs open, 3 are frozen, and I can't tell where the music is coming from. That's often how we're living because unaided, we go to the scary stuff. Our minds go to the past. Maybe a regret, something that we can't quite shake. Or to the future. We have a meeting, we have an event coming up that we're anxious about. We go to that. Or something maybe that we said that we regret that we said. Or maybe somebody said something to us and we're hurt by what they said. We're in this space of negativity. So then we go here to distract us. But what is this giving us? More chaos. You know, more images that the brain is actually not meant to handle, more comparison. And by going to this, we end up becoming like someone who is stranded on a deserted island, dying of thirst, and they go to salt water to drink it, and they think it makes them feel better for a second, but ends up being the thing that kills them. I'm not anti-iPhone. Obviously, I have one. I think they're actually amazing devices, but I do think it's really hard to be a human being and have an iPhone. I think it's hard to be someone who abides in Jesus and do the iPhone thing. It's something that we have to navigate, and basically it's true. Jesus is saying, I get it. It's true about you. It's hard. These are the things in life that are true about you, but something is more true. I am more true. I am the true vine. I'm the home. I'm the home that will produce something other than hate, fear, anxiety, shame, comparison, apathy, and cynicism. So let's do a challenge this week, all of us. Simple challenge. I think you're gonna like it, so you'll do it another week, and you'll do it another week. It's just a challenge to abide, and I'm gonna do it with you. And I've been doing it for a while, and it's game changer. Go to a red light. Don't grab your phone. Stand online. Stand in line. That's a New Jersey thing. Online is internet. In line is... People make fun of me for that all the time. Stand in line at a Starbucks or a grocery store. Don't go to your phone. You end a meeting and there's 10 minutes between that meeting and the next one. Don't do it. Just do this. Just breathe and just say, Holy Spirit. Or say, Jesus. Or I like to say that Thomas Aquinas line, nothing but you, God. You're at a red light. It's nothing but you, God. Jesus, nothing but you. Light turns green, you're off to the races, just go. You know what that is? That style of prayer right now that I just taught you, it's called contemplative prayer. And it's like contemplative prayer, isn't that for like the radicals and the monks and the Catholics and the monastic ones? It's for all of us. Contemplative prayer is simply contemplating God's love. And it's just turning I've heard someone say, it's looking at God, looking at you in love. You're at a red light, look at God looking at you in love. And even say it, oh, you love me? Do you love me? That's contemplative prayer, and it turns things. So instead of going to this, abide. It's simple, no matter how busy you are, everyone can do it. David Benner, author, spiritual director, he wrote the book, The Gift of Being Yourself, amazing book. He says, meditation on God's love has done more to increase my love than decades of effort to try to be more loving. Spend time with love and you become love more than trying to be loving. So I'm saying, yes, it's true that we are pulled in a million directions. Yes, it's true that we are hit with a million pieces of information at a million miles an hour. Yes, it's true that life can be hard. Yes, it's true that we are easily distracted. Yes, it's true that we are very busy. Yes, it's true that we carry wounds and agreements that motivate our behavior. Yes, it's true that our minds can tend toward chaos. Yes, it's true, but it's not the truest thing about you. Jesus is the true vine. Amen? Come on. Number 3, the Father is ready to do some gardening. This is where we go from believing people into abiding people, when we trust the Father to come and prune back some branches that actually are bearing fruit or remove some branches that are not bearing fruit. That is a lot of trust. Psychologists talk about habits. They're saying we could only actually have so many habits in our life. So when people say, just create new habits, it's more replace habits with better ones. Replace bad habits with better ones, replace even good habits that's like, I don't really need this in my life, with better ones. So we spoke about like the idle times and doing some contemplative prayer, but what about the non-idle times? James Smith, in his book, You Are What You Love, he calls out something that's really helpful for us with habits and love. Most people think you love something, so you create a habit. So you're like, yeah, John, love God, so create a habit to be with God. No, what James Smith is saying, actually, it's the other way around. You create a habit, you discipline yourself to have a habit, and then you end up loving the thing. So there's people who love working out, and a lot of us are going, those people are psycho. Who would love working out? But here's, those people, they created a habit to start working out, and they probably hated it at first. It was probably really difficult for them to get to the gym. They probably didn't want to do it a lot. They probably quit at times. But then they started to notice something. Their body felt better. Their minds felt better. And then they're thinking, wow, I got to get to the gym. I got to do this. Oh, I'm starting to enjoy this. And then they're starting to love it. And then they're starting to think, I don't want to live without this thing. And then they go into Lululemon and buying every single thing that's on the rack. And then they're walking around and just strutting off all their stuff. And they're just a walk-in commercial, and they just love it, but they didn't start it that way. Actually, probably didn't like it, but they started a habit. It's super similar with abiding in God. Maybe it's a little clunky at first. I've never really done this. I've never actually just said Jesus over and over. I've never said, oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, nothing but you. It might feel a little funny, but all of a sudden you start noticing a change in your body. You start noticing that you're more loving. You start noticing that you're more peaceful. You start noticing that you're less offendable. You start noticing that you're more gracious to others, and people are asking you, man, you're just so encouraging. What's happened to you? And next thing you know, you can't not spend time with Jesus because you start to love it, and you start thinking, I don't want to live my life without this. Start the habit, then the love. 2008 Olympics, Michael Phelps in Beijing, just owning every race. Gold medal after gold medal after gold medal. Paige and I just had our twins, and they were just a few months old, and we're watching the Olympics, we're watching Michael Phelps just clean up. And I said to Paige, I was like, man, you know, I'm just starting to notice a little bit of a dad bod in me. You know, like I was brushing my teeth the other day and everything just started moving like, like Jell-O. And I was like, the swimmer physique, that's a cool physique. I think I want that. So I was like, I'm gonna be a swimmer. So I lived by the YMCA at that time, and I went and bought myself a really good pair of goggles, you know, and I went to the Y and I picked my lane, and I stood there and I was like, this is it, it's the start of a new life, and got my goggles, you know, suction onto my face. And then I did the Michael Phelps stretching thing. Remember he used to do this, you know, he used to, it doesn't work as well when I do it. Remember he did that? I could be the only one. I was really into it. And I was like, here we go. Phelps physique, here we go. Jumped in, 30 seconds later, I'm draped over the side of the pool, gasping for my life. I wanna die. I think I did die. And I cannot breathe. I cannot, 30 seconds, I did one pass. It's not a lap, I don't know. It's just one length and dying. Eventually this sweet, sweet 85-year-old woman, she says, sweetie, are you done with your lane? I said, yeah, yes, I'm done. I'm done with my lane. And then she jumps in and proceeds to swim back and forth like a dolphin. I mean, just amazing form. And she didn't have the Michael Phelps physique, but she was just rocking it. It turns out you need to do certain strokes a certain way. Turns out there's certain kind of technique. Turns out you have to breathe a certain way. I've been swimming my whole life, surfing and wakeboarding. I thought I was cool. No, I'm not cool. I was dying. And then you got to change your diet. And it was all this stuff. Like, you can't just think your way into this thing. You have to habit your way into this thing. Did I really want to dive in to be a swimmer? No pun intended. I didn't. I didn't really. I just wanted the bod. It didn't happen. The swimmer, the dad bod remains. And I have a good pair of goggles if anybody wants them. You'll take them. It's similar with other things. My son Jones played drums today. Didn't he just do amazing? 16 years old. The first time he played for me here at North, he was 14 years old. I mean, he's just doing incredible. Do you think, though, that I just, because he's my son, I kind of let him in, like, well, we'll kind of sneak in the back door. You don't have to audition, and you might not be very good. No, I was harder on him. He had to put in the work. He had to get down to the basement, play the songs, play the rudiments, do the work that it takes, and then he started getting really good. And every day for about 30 minutes a day, our house just shakes. Drums are loud, okay? But it shakes. Our neighbors know. Our neighbors feel it. Paige and I were on a walk recently when Jones was practicing. We're 6 houses down and we could hear him play. I know. We have neighbors who have been like, wow, he's getting really good. It's like, yes, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. And like, no. I mean, we had neighbors who actually watched church online here, and they're like, hey, we saw Jones playing, so it was cool to hear him every day, and now to see him at church. But he couldn't think his way into it. He couldn't say, well, I'm John's son, I'll just play drums. He had to habit his way into it. John Mark Comer has an amazing way of looking at this called like the Matrix analogy. Remember that movie Matrix? And Neo's on the rooftop with Trinity and there's a helicopter and Neo said, do you know how to fly that? And she's like, not yet. And she calls, you know, Tank, I need a pilot program for a B-212 helicopter. And then her eyes, and she's like, let's go. And then she's flying all over the place. This is the way charismatic Christians often look at spiritual development, spiritual formation. It's like, Tank, Jesus, I need a pilot program on 30 years of time spent with you. I'm so peaceful. I'm so loving. I'm so merciful. Or Jesus, I need a pilot program on no anxiety at all. I have no anxiety. How is that working for us? It's not. We cannot do it that way. It doesn't work that way. We have to habit our way. For me, it's like, it's mornings. Mornings are really sacred for me. I would read something of substance. I would reflect on something of substance before you look at a screen. The stats are just kind of going up and up of people who sleep with their phones. I don't mean on the nightstand. I mean in their hands, in bed, like an adult stuffed animal. Like just, they cannot get away from it. And then as soon as they wake up, it's just such a part of their lives and it's just not helping us. So I would watch out for that and just create some boundaries around that. You know I love to walk. I told you guys stories about my sabbatical last year where I just was, for 2 months, I was just walking and walking, morning, noon, night, just walking, spending time with God, walking all over the North Briargate area. And there's tons of you took photos of me while I was walking and you sent them to me. I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, I think there was rumors flying around, like who is this mangy character that just walks all over town? Someone get him help. Definitely someone get him a job. But I just keep doing it. I keep walking and working it out, and I listen to worship, or I listen to instrumental music, or I listen to sermons, or I listen to nothing. I talk to God, and he talks to me. Listen to God, and he listens to me. It's become a really big, valuable thing for me, and I would encourage you to do something like that. Maybe you want to just sit and read for 30 minutes a day, and I have like the attention span of a 6th grader, so I need to get out. I need to walk, and that helps me. Another thing I do, and what we're all doing right here, right now, is go to church. I go to church and live with the people of God, and it's people I know, it's people I don't know, and that's the beauty of the church. Go to church. Pastor Brady and Pastor Daniel challenged our church this year. Like, hey, how about, can we pull off 40 Sundays of this year of attendance? I mean, they kind of threw down at the beginning of the year, and it's really good. We need to be with each other. And there's the spiritual practices and the spiritual disciplines I would look at. You could Google those and research those of worship and fasting, prayer, community. There's amazing things you could look to grow in your abiding. There's an app called Lectio 365 that our good friend Pete Gregg launched out of the UK, morning and night prayer. It's a real quick kind of thing. It's really beautiful. There's all kinds of ways to habit your way, but you do have to make a plan. Stephen Covey, he said, we achieve inner peace when our schedule aligns with our inner values. We gotta put it in our schedule. Or Pete Scazzaro out of New York City. He says, nurturing a growing spirituality in our present day culture calls for a purposeful plan. Can we make a plan? The last thing I want to say is, if this is feeling a little overwhelming, like, oh, this seems like I have to do all the work. It seems like this works righteousness. And where's Jesus? What's Jesus' role in this? I have the best news for you. Number 4 is Jesus will remain in you. He'll make his home in you. It's not you do all the work. Verse 4, remain in me and I remain in you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. This rabbi, this teacher, this amazing friend and savior, he's willing to do the heavy lifting. He's not saying, stay close to me or you're up a creek. He's not saying, remain in me or you're hosed. Abide in me or you'll regret your life. Figure out how to abide or else. He's saying, I have a promise for you, friends. If you'll have me, I will make my home in you. And he's like, what? Yes, we have then all we need. Our helper, our guide, carrying us, not making this unnecessarily difficult. This is, he's invited us into this. He is close and he is ready. Where is all this going? Why all this abiding? Why a talk like this? Why is John 15 important? I think it's kind of summed up in verse 17. This is my command, love. We will be with him, we'll become like him. And who is he? He is love. Ultimately, we are headed toward being people of love, being like many messiahs, many Christs, love. The long and beautiful and sometimes grueling walk of following Jesus is done well over a long period of time. If done well over a long period of time, will turn us into people of love. If you're not a person of love yet, just keep going. Keep abiding. Don't forget, it's not a race. It is a journey. It's a long obedience in the same direction. If you don't see the fruit of love in your life, maybe it's time for the gardener to come and prune back some branches. Maybe it's time for him to replace some habits. And maybe you're already burning with some things right now. Like, ugh, I probably should stop that habit. If you apprentice long enough, you'll see the fruit of your life looks like Jesus. It matches what he did. You'll see yourself as generous and selfless and serene and trusting and loving and wise and calm and just looking a whole lot like Jesus, the true vine. Can you say amen? Church, let's stand together. If you serve communion, would you come to the front, be ready to serve? Friends, I love that we are ending at the table. This is our kind of a chance to do two things. I love looking at it as like the two R's. We repent and we receive. When you come down to receive the elements, I just come with a heart of repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, right? This is not a hammer of judgment. It's just the kindness of God leading us to repent of maybe attaching ourselves to some vines that are not gonna bear the right fruit. Maybe some habits that need to be replaced. Let's come with a heart of repentance. Or maybe it's like, you know what? I think I'm in that camp of people, I believe in God, yeah. That's why I'm here, I believe in God. But I have not spent much time spending my life with God. I've not spent my life abiding in God. And Jesus is inviting me to that, and there's a whole adventure waiting for me, yes. So you'll take the elements, you'll go back to your seat, we're gonna sing, and of course we're gonna sing the song Abide, because you have to. And then Eddie's gonna come up and lead us through receiving the elements, and that's when we receive the Savior saying, okay, I'm gonna make my home in you. You're not alone. You don't have to carry this thing all by yourself. This is good news. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work. Do your work in us, God. Yeah. So if you're new here, the ushers are gonna just kind of release you row by row, and it'll be really easy. You'll just follow the person in front of you, come down and get the elements, and you'll go back and get your seat. If you can't stand up for any kind of reason, no problem. Just ask somebody to grab you something and they'll come and get you something. And if you're not sure about the Jesus thing, we encourage you to walk the line. You don't have to take the elements, but we're gonna do some, at the end of the service, we'll have some prayer people up here. Come on up here and say, I wanna know Jesus. I wanna receive Christ. So, Lord, the gardener, do your work. Church, let's go to the table of the Lord.
With this song, we make known our dependence on Jesus. We need you every hour, precious Lord.
My way, King.
bread for my daily bread. I depend on you. I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep.
I invite you to grab hold of those elements now in your hands. For some 2,000 years, the followers of Jesus have been gathering like we do. And now we come to a table to remember the body and the blood of Jesus, which was shed for us. And now we receive. We say, Jesus, make your home here. And Jesus, we want to make our home in you. For on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And so now we eat to remember him together. Then after they ate the bread, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. So as often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." So now we sing to him with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Can you lift your hands around the room as a sign of surrender as we sing? I depend on you.
Prayer team, I want to invite you to come forward, as John mentioned. If any of you need prayer, please give us the privilege of praying with you. So there'll be people here at the front of the stage as we conclude the service. But just want to mention a few things before we leave. First, if you're new around here, two things I want to mention. One is Connect Central. So if you go to out these middle doors to the left, there are people there waiting for you. If you have any questions at all about anything in regards to New Life Church, that is where you can get answers. So I would love for you to connect with someone back there at Connect Central. Secondly, if you're wanting to get connected, another way you can do that is through section gatherings. So section 11 and section 1, today is your section gatherings. You're going to go to room 161 or to the activity center. What is this? This is where you get to spend a little bit of time just with the people you're sitting around right now at church, and it's a great on-ramp into start building some relationships here at church so you can really start feeling like your church family more and more. And then finally, I want to mention that this Wednesday is First Wednesday, okay? So we will be back in this room May 1st at 6:30 right here, back here to start habituating. What are we habituating? The worship of Jesus. We will prioritize that. We will do this regularly because that's how we know we're going to be formed into more and more the likeness of Jesus. So before we leave today, would you just open your hands in front of you? I want to pray a blessing as we leave. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and that he would be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace today. I pray this in the name of Jesus and in his name alone. Amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.